We're looking at lesson 52, and we had gotten down to, we were talking a little bit before about question 8, where the verses are. Somebody got their Bible open?
I got it.
Read 9 through 13, chapter 12.
Love must be without hypocrisy, detest evil, cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality.
Okay, we're talking about, we talked last week about praying without ceasing and kind of how that goes. And then, so this question 8 says, how intense are the needs of the fellowship to be to us? So the fellowship has a lot of needs, and we're to know about them, for one thing. And does this verse put a responsibility on us to know and pray about the needs of everybody in the fellowship? What do you think? I mean, there's no question that we satisfy our own needs first. Try to, anyway. How about the needs, satisfying the needs of your brother in Christ? Come on, somebody speak up.
Well, it seems obvious that basically God says if you have the means to help, you know, your brother's hurting,
mm-hmm.
just you would naturally have this bond of love where you would want to help.
Yeah, it's interesting that the needs aren't necessarily financial. We're looking at necessities. The way this verse is structured, we as believers are to make another's necessity as though they were our own. So I don't see you guys coming over and mowing my grass. What's the problem?
That's Luke Jenkins' job.
Or I don't see you coming over and praying over me. It's an interesting thing I got out of Newell. He said, so to make another's necessities one's own is to relieve them. When you obey this injunction and begin wisely to inquire about the saints' needs, you will be astonished at two things. First, at the actual pressing necessities of many saints all about you, and second, at the way God will supply your own necessities as you minister to them. Mm. What I've noticed, especially recently, and I think it has a lot to do with your mom, Winnie, as we minister to her needs, our needs seem so small. And she, you know, she's in a nursing home or a assisted care facility, and I mean, other than the fact that you know, it's a nice place, it's like being in jail. She can't get out for any reason, and if she escapes, they won't let her back in. And so, negativity of the environment that she's in really weighs on her. It's really apparent as time goes on, so we've decided we're probably going to break the rules a little bit. And
don't put that on tape.
Yeah, don't put that on tape. Anyway, we've got to figure out a way to interact with her face to face. Last week, Ingrid was talking about having somebody hang out with her dad. That one-on-one, face-to-face time, Winnie doesn't have any of that. And even though we Zoom with her and talk to her a couple, three times a day, still, it's not the same. And it's the same way with our body of believers, you know. The sooner we can get back together face-to-face, that's really important because we're built that way. We're built to be together, and especially in the body of Christ. And I like what Newell had to say, that he said that if you are involved in the needs of somebody else, you'll find that he supplies your needs. Because when your focus isn't on yourself, there's a real tendency to just, well, whatever your circumstances are, they weren't that bad, you know. And he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And that's one of the problems of being isolated and locked down like we are. We have a tendency to only think about ourselves. And the body of Christ functions much better if I'm thinking about and praying about you rather than myself, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think God gave us bodies.
Turn your mic on. There you go.
Okay. I think God gave us bodies so we could interact with each other.
Sure.
I've been reading Randy Alcorn's book called Heaven, and he says, we're going to have bodies in heaven too.
Yes.
So we can interact with each other.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think that's really important. We have been... I think we've gotten out every single day. Somebody's clock. Westminster chimes. I've gotten out every single day for the last 3 months. I'm going somewhere doing something, and you know I've been careful, but I can't tell you. To be in Home Depot and see other human beings is really, you know, it's therapeutic.
Man.
You know? So we're built to be social creatures, and especially the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is a little different because the focus as we grow in Christ is on the other members and not ourselves. And that's really a neat thing. So, okay. Question 9. How should we view our possessions as believers? So, take an inventory of everything that you own. How should you view them? I see Debbie laughing.
Yeah. We don't own them.
we don't own them, but
we're observing JD's halo.
JD's halo, he's got the sun coming in on one side.
This was God's plan, not mine.
So how should you view the possessions that you have?
Temple. As belonging to God.
They belong to God. So what's your role?
We're the caretakers.
We're caretakers. We're custodians. And boy, does that change our attitude, I think, a lot of times about that they're not our own. We're just holding them in stewardship for the Lord, and he can use them for whatever he wants them directed. Now, the first thing your old man says to you is, if I do that, I'm not going to be able to eat or feed my family or... Oh boy, I'm going to be destitute. But I think that what we find is, we're not talking about socialism and the community of goods. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that the Word of God teaches us that we have the rights of personal and private property. But what's interesting is that it doesn't really belong to us. We're stewards of it for the Lord. And so an attitude that you and my like everything that I'm a steward of really is, I'm like a storekeeper that doesn't have any price on anything. Whatever you want, whatever you need, if the Lord directs, it's yours. So what do you think about that?
I think it goes back to our citizenships in heaven. We're here. We don't own the property. It's his. And, you know, he's free to give it to us or to take it away. And we should you know, look at it that way. I've always, you know, with the company, you know, my company or anything like that, I've always been relaxed. If he can give me work or take away the company or do any company, it's all his.
It's all his.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, again, I just go back to the citizenship. You know, our citizenship's in heaven. We're here just traveling through. And if we look at it that way, it's not, I mean, we're stewards of his possessions and we should be cognizant of that, but he's free to give it to us or take it away and not be, you know, I guess, attached to it.
So can I have your truck?
I was just going to say, everything's my truck.
No, I want your truck, JD. It's nicer.
The answer is no. But I may come over and do your lawn for you to give.
Oh, that'd be great. Bring your edger while you're at it. Okay.
That the Lord take it away, not you guys.
That's true. That's true. I really do think that's one of those principles that you learn, especially we Americans who have so much. But it's a principle you learn as you grow in Christ that, you know, you really are just sort of taking care of stuff. And it's like, should I just stand on the corner and give, you know, take all of my accounts and turn them to cash and just hand them out? No. I'm a steward. And a steward has a responsibility, you know, a responsibility to be diligent about the use of whatever the Lord has made you a steward of. And so that's really kind of neat. And
It ties into that whole, and I use the lower capital version of Lord over the earth. I mean, we are stewards, like you said. That's how we were designed originally.
That's so, right.
It's not ours, but we are responsible for taking care of it. There's lordship from a creation perspective.
Yeah.
Well, and I think also taking that attitude just gives a lot more peace in this life.
Sure does.
And if you're not attached to it, if it's gone or it's, you know, if you do take my truck, you know, I'm not as, it's not a devastating thing if you're not attached to it.
Right.
So it gives you a lot more peace in everything. You know, I know that the Lord's going to take care of me one way or the other.
It's, sure.
You know what? He takes care of the birds of the field and feeds them and does everything. So he can take it all away or do whatever, but he still is going to, goes back to my isms, you know, he's in control. So if he takes it away, I know it's his. And he's not doing it out of malice, that he loves me. So whatever he does is done in love.
Yeah.
And again, that gives, you know, peace of heart, rest, all those different things if you're not attached to the things here.
Yeah. It's an important point. Okay.
There's something in my mind regarding, you know, like you were talking about, like just giving away your money on the street corner kind of thing. But there's also not only the stewardship of our possessions, but we have the stewardship of our relationships and our families and who we're taking care of.
Yeah.
So we're
Mike, can you
keeping that
up?
In mind too.
Can you turn that up? Or
good point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
All of a sudden we're getting a... Huh? So,
Steve needs to mute his.
Well,
I'm trying to get this
mouse to work because there's somebody else that wants to come in. It's a little late, but we'll see. So let's do the last question. We got a couple of minutes. The last question is: are we to go out into the world and seek to help non-believers? What do you think?
Where the Lord leads, it would not be anything less. If you try to do it yourself, it's going to mess up.
I'll ask the question another way. Should the focus be on? Believers, our own body? Like somebody comes in the door at church and they need a handout. And are we to take care of that situation, or should we be more concerned about the needs of the immediate body of believers that we're involved in? So what do you think?
In this scenario, are you asking somebody that we suspect is an unbeliever that comes into the church and needs something, say gas?
Sure. Sure.
Versus the body of believers that we're familiar with and we know, and they need something. So how do we weigh? How do we balance that?
Yeah.
That need.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, I put it this way. I think believers come first. Whatever need that they have, you know, we're to share one another, because what does righteousness have to do with unrighteousness? Yet at the same time, this last verse, with respect to the needs of the saints, being a sharer with them, eager for opportunities to show hospitality. Notice in an expanded translation from Wiest, he refers to with respect to the needs of the saints. So, but it doesn't mean that if somebody knocks on my door that I've never met before and they want to sleep in the basement, I'm not going to let them do that.
Yeah, you know? Oh, that's for sure. I've seen you, Mike, do a lot of things for a lot of people over the years. And I think that for the unbeliever, you're simply meeting an immediate, like, physical need in order to get a bigger spiritual need.
Right? Yeah. And that's that's good, Jay.
They need the Lord Jesus, and that's their ultimate need. And maybe they need a loaf of bread, or, you know, you have to kind of read between the lines. It can get a little hairy sometimes. Situation for the believer, though, you know, it may be spiritual as well. It might actually be. Wow, that was weird. Yeah. I heard myself. Did you hear myself speak to myself?
Yes, I did. That was nice.
Okay, I'm going to stop talking. I'll leave it at that.
Ingrid wants to share a verse.
I just saw Galatians 6:10 says that, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes along with what you were saying.
Sure.
Family first.
Yeah, you know. Steve, do you want to say something? It's like this, you know, somebody comes in the church, you should refer them to Roger and I. And what do? Ask them what their need is. Most people come and they want cash. We're not going to give them cash. But whatever their need is, like if they need a tank of gas, fine. We'll go to the gas station. We fill up their tank and let them on their way. Until they tore down the motel over here, I was on a first name basis with the desk clerk over there. But now the motel's gone. I don't know what to do. So, but nobody has asked for a room lately. But food and that kind of thing, you know, I don't know.
Well, funny quick story. So Mike says, I got to go take care of these guys and get them some gas. So Laban and I drive up right behind these guys, and we wait for Mike to fill us up too. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I do. I'm like, well, if he's going to be that giving, family first, right?
Yeah. Well, what you guys didn't see was the little girl in the back seat of the car I was filling up kept sticking her tongue out at me the whole time I was filling her up.
Oh, that's too funny.
We got to get ready for the main service. Hopefully it'll work. So let's close in prayer. Father, how we thank you for the... At least we had some time together. We sure appreciate that. We trust you with this next service that Roger will encourage us with the message that he has, and that the electronic platform we're working on will work fine for everybody. And we thank you, we praise you, and we pray in your son's name. Amen.